chapter 22. I want to read a couple of verses together with you. Once again, I'm glad to see you here in the house of the Lord. And appreciate your faithfulness to God's house. Amen. It's hard to have church with just pews. People always make it a lot better. And I just want you to know we appreciate you. Amen. We had another great meal today, and I think that was Sister Miller brought the casserole, and I think it was chicken and rolls and all kinds of stuff. And we ate on some red velvet cake. I think that was yours, Sister, back there. Brown, right? And man, I tell you what, the pastor, he took a bite of that and he said, "Oh, it's no good. You don't want none of that." I knew what he was doing. He was trying to trick me into letting him have it all. But I got me a couple pieces. And what are you laughing about? And it's just been great. Somebody brought in food last night, some meatballs. Man, I tell you what, y'all are just, you're not careful. You're going to make me get fat here. And I don't want to do that. All right. Let's look here in Luke chapter 22. Don't you love the Lord? And aren't you glad we can just have fun? Amen. Well, now let's try to get down to business here. I really feel like the Lord wants to help somebody. And I'd like to see Him do it. Amen. Luke chapter 22, verse number 31. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. I want to preach to you tonight for a little while on surviving the sifting. Surviving the sifting. Would you just pray with me tonight? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for the privilege, God, to be here tonight in your presence. And I ask that you would just stand me in liberty, that you would give me the unction of the Holy Ghost. God, that you would move upon the hearts, and that most of all you would move in the altar. God, that is my main desire, is that you'd move in the altar and touch somebody tonight. We'll give you praise and glory for it. We ask it in your name. And everyone said, amen, amen. You may be seated. Surviving the sifting. Our scripture text here is concerning the Last Supper. We commonly refer to it as the Lord's Supper. The disciples have gathered together with Christ at this crucial time in His ministry and in His life. The crucifixion is just a short time away, and all of the followers of Christ are being tried. They are being tried in their lives. Will they live for the Lord? They are being tried in their loyalties. Will they be loyal to their Lord? They are being tried in their longings. What is the desire of their heart and of their soul and of their spirit? And in the midst of all of this trying time, we see that several things are happening. Number one, the followers were failing, because we see that those that have been crying just a few days before, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord," now they are crying, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." We find also that the disciples are deserting Him, because Judas, just a few verses before, has turned and gone out the door and is trying to betray the Lord even at this moment. Also, we see that the enemies were exulting in what seemed to be certain victory. And even at this very moment, a vicious mob is forming and final plans are being made to capture and to crucify
crucify the Christ. Amen. Oh yes, what a time it is. And then at this very moment is when our Lord makes a surprising statement. And Peter makes a bold boast. Amen. Jesus looks him right in the eye and said, Peter, I want you to know something. The devil wants you that he may sift you like wheat. And Peter makes that bold boast and said, Lord, it doesn't matter because I'm ready to go to prison. I'm even ready to go to death. Whatever it takes, I'm going to stand for you. I want to ask you something tonight. Have you ever made a bold boast and said what you would do when you didn't know what the future held? Oh, I have.
I got to get rid of this thing here. Hey, man. I'm going to start preaching against them, I think. Hey, man. You ever done that before? You see, it's real easy for us to say what we're going to do when we don't know what the future holds. It's easy for us to stand up and say that we will do this or we will do that or we wouldn't act like that. But friend, I want to tell you something tonight. You don't know what you'll do when you get in the sifter, and you don't know what you'll do when hell has come against your heart, against your home, against your soul, against your mind. And Peter made a bold boast here, but he didn't understand that hell had selected him for sifting. And only God's mercy and grace would pull him through. You see, in just a few verses, Peter was going to be under the gun. And it was going to be time to live and not talk. We used to say it like this. It's time to put up or shut up. Either you're going to do it or you're going to have to quit talking big. Oh yes, friend, that's where Peter was. I believe the songwriter said it right when he said life is easy. When you're up on the mountain, it's easy to talk big when everything's going good. It's easy to say what you'll do for God when the devil's not against you. But what about when you're being sifted? What about when hell has come against you and hell has pulled out all the stops and he is coming against your heart? I see several things here tonight that I want to preach to you. The first thing I see is Simon's problem. He said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. That is Simon's problem. Satan wanted him. Listen right here. Literally, it means that Satan wants to get his hands on you so he can beat you down like wheat is sifted to flour. I want to preach to you tonight and tell you that every one of us face this same problem. The devil wants to get a hold of you. He wants to get a hold of your life. He wants to get a hold of it and wreck it. He would love to get his hands on your body and destroy it. He would love to get his hands on your mind and twist it and torment it and pervert it. He would love to get his hand on your possessions and crush them under his power. Hey, listen right here. The devil would love to come in this church and stir up trouble and cause division and bring a splint into the church. He would love to get a hold of the pastor and destroy his ministry. He would love it. For you are not the first one, and Peter was not the first one that the hell had come after. Oh yes, do you remember the man by the name of Job? Amen. The Bible said four things about Job. He said he was godly, he was perfect, he was upright, and he honored God or revered him. But yet hell came against him. Hell wanted him. He said, let me get my hands on him. But God would not let him do it. Friend, God will put a hedge around your soul and guard you even when hell is asking to get a hold of you. Remember Jesus? Remember Jesus? In Matthew chapter 4, he was in the temptation. Hell came to him and said, I want you to do this. Jesus rebuked him with the word.
Hell came right back again and said, I want you to do this. And Jesus used the word. Amen. Hell came back a third time and Jesus used the word. I want to tell you that hell is against us. Hell is pulling out the stops and hell is trying to pull us down. He is coming against us with all that he can. And you might think tonight that you're exempt from it, but I have come to tell you that hell wants to get a hold of you. Simon's problem is our problem. He wants us that he might destroy us. Oh, I need the help of the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. I see another thing here. Not only Simon's problem, but I see Satan's purpose. He said, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. The purpose of Satan was that he wanted to sift him. I don't know how many of you have ever seen a flour sifter. You ever seen one of these? Girls, you ever use one of these in the kitchen? Didn't think so. Sister Johnston had one. It's got apples on it. But it'll work. I really feel like I'm up against a wall here tonight. Haven't felt that all week. But I really feel like I'm up against a wall. We need the Holy Ghost to help us here. Satan's purpose is to sift us. Sift us. You've seen these old sifters before. You fill them with the flour. 1 cup, 2 cup, 3 cup. And you begin to twist this. And what that does is it has a beater in there. And it begins to beat that old flour. It beats the lumps out of it. It breaks it all in pieces. It agitates it all up. It brings a stirring in there. Amen. Jesus looked at Simon and said, Simon, hell wants you because he wants to sift you. He wants to bring a sifting in your life. That word sift means to shake, to agitate, and to try one's faith to the point of overthrowing it. He said, Peter, I want to warn you that hell desires to have you, that he might try you, that he might test you, that he might toss you, that he might tempt you until you're ready to give up on God. He said, get ready, Peter. Your faith is going to be tried. Your patience is going to be tested. Your commitment will be sifted. Your devotion will be devastated. And your doctrine is going to be flooded. He's warning him that hell wants to sift him like wheat. Oh, let me preach to you tonight and tell you, church, that you are in line for the same sifting. If hell could get his hands on you, he would put you in the sifter and he would shake you and agitate you and toss you all about. He would toss your marriage. He would toss your mind. He would toss your heart. He would toss this church. Do you hear what I'm saying? He wants to sift us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to put us in the sifter and ruin our lives. Let me warn you tonight. It's going to come upon you also. Preacher, that same sifting will come as a trial of your faith. Church member, brace yourself for an all-out attack from hell. Brother, get ready and buckle yourself in because you're going to go on a ride that is designed to destroy your faith in God. Sister, let me warn you tonight, all hell is going to come in the fire and the flood and the foes because hell wants to destroy you. He doesn't want you going on with God. He doesn't want you praying. He doesn't want you going to church. He don't want you in the altar. He's after you that he might sift you like wheat. Amen. But I see a third thing. Simon's problem, hell wants him. Satan's purpose, that he might sift us like wheat. But then we get to verse 32. But I have prayed for thee. Simon's problem, hell wants him. Satan's purpose to sift him. But then the Savior gives a promise. And he said, I'm going to be praying for you. Oh, glory to God. I don't know who you might be tonight, but you might feel like you've been in Satan's sifter. You might feel like he's been working you over. He's coming against your mind. He's coming against your heart. He's wrecking you, agitating you. All your plans are falling apart, and you don't know what to do. Oh, but I want to preach to you tonight and tell you that you got a Savior that's given you a promise. And the promise is, I'm going to be praying. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to turn my back on you. I'm not going to neglect you. I'm going to pray for you that your faith fails not. Oh, church, hallelujah. Listen, heaven is praying for us. Oh, what a precious promise that the Lord is praying for us. When you're weak, remember that He's praying. He said, I know where you are. I know what you're facing. I know what you're feeling. I know you're in the shifter. But I'm praying for you. In just a few verses, we find Peter in the sifter. Hey man, Peter sifting. Look at verse 54 with me. If you have your Bible open, Holy Ghost help us. We get to verse 54, and Peter has already gotten into the sifter. And look what it says. They took him and led him, talking about Jesus, and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. Let me tell you something, church. Anytime you start the wrong following, you're going to wind up in the sifter. Peter got too much distance between him and the Lord, and he wound up in the sifter. Anytime you quit praying, anytime you start laying out of church, anytime you lay down the Word of God, you're going to find yourself, amen, a candidate for the sifter of Satan. You've got to follow close. Do not let any gap come between you and the Lord. Do not let any space come between you and Him, because you're setting yourself up to fall into the sifter. Not only did he have a wrong following, but look at verse 55. And Peter sat down among them. And that wrong following led him to the wrong fellowship. And he was sitting with the wrong people. Friend, when you start getting away from God and you start running with the wrong crowd, you're setting yourself up for a failure and a sifting by the enemy. Notice what happens next. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire. He wasn't at the Lord's fire. He was at the wrong fire. And Pastor Johnston, we've got a whole generation today that's going after the wrong fire. They want to feel the heat of the fire, but they've already been running with the wrong crowd, and they've already been following afar off. And before they know it, they're at the wrong fire, trying to get warm. Amen. He fell right into the sifter of Satan. Oh, listen to me, friend. You might go into the sifter, but you don't have to make it your fault. Satan might get a hold of you, but don't give him an opportunity to do it. Amen. Simon wound up in the sifter. He is almost lost. His faith is about overthrown. He has faltered. He has even fallen. He is almost finished. Oh, but I noticed something else. In verse 61, it says the Lord looked at him. The Lord looked at him. Friend, even when Peter was in the middle of the sifter, he still had a Savior that was there with him, that was watching him, that had his eye upon him. We see Peter sifting, but then I see the praying Savior. He's looking at him. Notice what happens. Peter is feeling the weight of his sin, and he doesn't know really what to do. But then the Lord turned, and they made eye contact. And notice what happens. Peter remembered his words. What words did he remember?
He remembered where Jesus looked at him and said, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. He felt like he was about to give in. He felt like he was lost. He felt like it was all over and there's no more opportunity. Oh, but that's when he found out the Lord still had his eye on him. Oh, yes, church, you might be in the sifter and hell might be working you over. He might have been agitating you. He might have been trying and testing you. Oh, but here it is tonight. You've still got a Savior that's looking in the sifter and he's watching you where you are. He looks right in there and said, I see you, Pastor Johnston. I see you, Brother Brown. I see you, Brother Bill. I see you, Brother Metzger, where you are. You might be in Satan's sifter, but there's a Savior that's praying for you, and he knows where you're at. He hasn't left you alone. He hasn't turned his back on you. He hasn't neglected you. He is still there watching you in the sifter. Do you remember when Israel came to the Red Sea? They looked in front of them and there's the Red Sea. They looked to the right as mountains, to the left as wilderness. They looked behind them and there's Pharaoh's army. And they said, oh, we don't know what to do. But the Lord was right there in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. He hadn't left them. Remember the three Hebrew boys? They were in the fire, all around them fire. But then all of a sudden, somebody walked up beside of them and said, I'm here with you in the sifter. It was the Savior in the sifter. Glory to God. Remember Daniel in the lion's den? He thought it was just him and the lion. No, no, no. God sent an angel and closed the mouths. He was with him in the lion's den. Remember Stephen in the New Testament? They were stoning him. But Stephen looked up and said, I see the Lord. And he's standing up to welcome me home. Friend, every time you go into the sifter, the Lord is there with you. I don't know if you've heard about this, but the eagle goes through a time in his life that is called molting. M-O-U-L-T-I-N-G, molting. I began to read about that. And today I studied a little more on it. And it said that when this eagle goes through a molting time, its beak becomes dull. It loses its sharpness. Its claws or its talons lose their edge where it can no longer grip its prey. It can no longer tear its meat with its beak. Its feathers begin to dull and it goes into a valley and it will go down there until it's almost dead. It said that it would begin to pull its feathers out, molting. It pulls its feathers out. Its beak crushed over and it can't open its beak to even eat. And it's almost starved to death. But they say that that's when other eagles come. And they will pull little pieces of meat and they'll push it into the beak of that eagle that's going through the molting. And they keep it alive. And they said that those other eagles will walk in front of that one and will strut and spread their wings and show them the glory of being an eagle. Amen. To try to boost the morale of that eagle when it's going through its deepest, darkest time. Amen. Oh, glory to God. But they said if that eagle will keep its faith up, if it'll keep its morale up, that eventually new feathers will grow, its beak will break off, and a new beak will grow.
grow out. Its talons will break off and new ones will grow out. And before you know it, that eagle will go up to the highest mountain, walking and clawing its way up. And when it gets to the top of the high mountain, it will spread its wings again, and the wind will bear it up, and it will fly one more time. Friend, I want to tell you tonight, you might be going through the molting, you might be going through the sifter, but there is something waiting on you that's worth it all. Amen. If you can survive the sifter, you're going to fly again. You're going to go again. You're going to rise up to the highest mountain again. Right now it looks like you're going to die. Right now it looks like hell's won. But oh, listen to me. Jesus said, I'm going to pray you through it. I'm going to pull you through it. I'm not going to let you die in the sifter, but you're going to be a survivor and you're going to come through it. Hey, listen right here. If God brought you to it, He can bring you through it. You don't have to die in the sifter. Do you know the next time we see Peter? It's called the book of Acts, chapter 2. Peter gets a filling of the Holy Ghost. And now Peter's not in the sifter, but Peter's in the Spirit. Oh, glory to God. And the Holy Ghost is falling on him. Amen. He's a survivor. But all of a sudden he gets full of the Spirit. And he becomes not only a survivor, but a thriver. And he's better than he was before. And he preaches better. And he helps people. And 3,000 get saved. Oh, glory to God. Amen. You can come through it. You might be agitated in the sifter tonight, but you can come through it and be better than you ever were before. Amen. Just hold on to the Savior. Stand with me if you would. Oh, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Bow your heads, please, if you would. Holy Ghost. Somebody here tonight, Lord, may feel like they are in the middle of Satan's sifter. They may feel like all hell has been unleashed against them. They may feel like it's time for them to give up before they die. But Lord, I'm asking that tonight you would just walk right in the middle of their sifter. And you would be their Savior. And you would give them a touch of the Spirit and make them a thriver, not only a survivor. Lord, bring them out of it shouting victory. Bring them out of it with your help and your answer and your glory, oh God. Tonight, let them go back to the mountain and fly one more time. In the name of Jesus, I ask it. And I'll give you all the glory, Lord. I'll give you all the glory, Lord. With your head still bowed, I want to ask somebody tonight, have you felt like you've been in the sifter tonight? Maybe it's just been for a week, 2 weeks, 3 months, 5 months, a year, but you feel like all hell has been beaten against your heart. Amen. But tonight you'd like to find the Savior in the middle of your sifter. Could I just see your hand tonight? Just throw it up and say, I need to find Him tonight. I need to lay hold on Him. There's one. Hallelujah. Another one. Glory. Amen. Oh, I'd just like you to lay hold on Jesus in this service. I'd like you to get a fresh touch of the Spirit that would pull you through the sifter. Is there somebody else? Is there somebody else? Hallelujah to God. I want those that raise their hands, I want you to step out and come right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe in the Holy Ghost to help us tonight. Oh, yes. Church, I really believe there's others here. I really do. I believe it with all my heart. Amen. You've been wondering if you'll fly again. You've been wondering if you'll go again. And you feel like you're down in that valley and you're going through the molting. Amen. Tonight, why don't you come and lay a hold on the Savior? Amen. Brothers and sisters, could we be altar workers tonight? Could we come to these brothers and this sister and lay an arm on them and a hand on them and help to pray them through? Oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Oh, would you help these brothers and sisters tonight? Tonight, Lord.